Hey everybody, this is Daryl with AfterBuzz TV. I was recently looking to buy a car and thought to myself, there has to be a better way. It's such a stressful process. That's when my friend told me about a new way to buy a car. It's called TrueCar.com. At TrueCar.com, you can actually see what others pay for the car you're looking for in your area, so you know when you're getting a great price. Because at TrueCar.com, you get a savings certificate, and you just take that savings certificate to a TrueCar.com certified dealer, so you don't need to worry about the hassle and anxiety of the old way to buy a car. And TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,000 off the MSRP. So seriously, if you're ready to buy a car, why wouldn't you go to TrueCar.com? Negotiation-free guaranteed savings, a hassle-free experience, and a TrueCar certified dealer that is committed to a new and better way to buy a car. Come on, save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, from the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Nobody knows where they might end up.
Nobody knows.
Don't even, it was so long ago, and I remember that being the opening ever.
It was like, they stopped using it like 5 seasons ago.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, 5 seasons ago. Hey, you guys, we're back doing another episode. Well, you know, why do I always say that? New opening to our show. We are here giving you another episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hi, everyone. Jason J. Carter here. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, I'm your girl, Star Session. We got a new co-host today. You guys might know him.
Our legal eagle.
Hello, I'm Jason Romrell.
Yes, yeah. Jason Romrell, our attorney, our legal maven.
Give out your tweet, because people are starting to tweet us now, so they can know how to find you.
Well, let's start by doing our tweet shout-outs tonight. Let's say what's up to our girl, Dynamite Jack. Yes, she's all at JDC Forever on Twitter. Pre-show selfie. You're not supposed to put me on blast.
I love how Jacqueline. You took the moment away from him. Go ahead and call out your Twitter handle.
Twitter handle is at UpYourBiz.
UpYourBiz.
UpYourBiz. Yeah. Instead of like up your... Yeah, that's clever. You're something else, you. You're something else, you.
Yeah, Alicia Harding's still up on there.
Yep.
Call Me T is our new follower, and she's up on there as well.
Topanga Matthews at Loverly Jen.
Dynamite Jack.
Yep, love her, love her. Gotta say what's up to Sanja and Tanja Bumbar.
Yeah, and Andy 24 Packs. That's a new one. Hi, Andy.
And Lovable Nikki, of course.
Yeah, so we've got some great followers, and we loved all your comments from last week, so continue doing that as well.
Yeah, so let's get into tonight's episode. A filler. It was a filler episode.
It was a filler. Definitely. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, it was a filler episode. And it's okay. You know, I'm officially done being bitter about any filler episodes here on Grey's Anatomy. I have to take the good with the bad and ebb and flow. So tonight's filler episode on a scale of 1 to 10 filler episodes was about a 7. There was some moments.
Last week was a really great episode, I would have to say.
Yes.
So this kind of connects the dots for the drama that's going to happen.
Right.
So I'm really excited about it. I mean, it was about a lot of transitions.
Transitions, like moving. And
moving,
yes, moving.
And birthdays.
Very earthy and organic, mm-hmm. like the stars and planets,
yes.
and stuff. But before we get into the episode, we want to touch on the legal things that have been going on this season. And a lot of people online and on the blogs have been wondering about this love pact and this love contract and, you know...
Is it real? Is it possible?
Well, first of all, this episode, if you put this in the classroom at law school, it would be a killer teaching tool.
Because,
I mean, there were so many legal issues that were presented and
were
things that law students could go, that's not true, this is true, that's right, that's
didn't.
Wrong. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So, okay, so
let's touch on the love
contract.
Yes, the love contract.
You took the word out of my mouth. I was like, let's touch a star.
Yeah, we're like this.
We're connected,
like,
people.
Yeah.
Yes, but the love contract, first of all, it sounds stupid.
Yeah, it sounds like not real.
I gave him a love contract, like a promise ring,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah,
kind of dumb.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's a fairly new development in the law. Love contracts are enforceable in a lot of states. Mm. Courts have been seeing them more and more lately. But the whole purpose behind the love contract is you have two coworkers or a manager and a subordinate that are together and they're involved mm-hmm. romantically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you've got all sorts of issues that could come up. Sexual harassment, hostile work environment, pressuring people into
right.
Sexual situations.
Yeah.
So the love contract is just, it's a way for an employer to say, here are the rules if you guys are going to be seeing each other. Here are the rules, and you can't complain about harassment. You can't complain about being hit on.
Right.
But it's not a panacea. It's not a solution for everything.
So, I agree.
Because people break up.
Right.
Right.
But then so now that it's signed and if they were to break up, what would be the repercussions? Like, can you retract that contract? Or for the duration of you working there, even if you break up, you still can never, ever, in 10 years down the line, never sue? You know what I mean?
I have used these before for mm-hmm. some of my clients. So the way that I drafted these contracts was to say if your relationship changes, you have to tell HR mm-hmm. when you're in the relationship. But then if the relationship changes, you have to tell them. The big problem, though.
The sex got worse last week, HR. I'm so sorry.
It can happen. Yeah. But when you break up, then you've got huge problems. Even with a love contract, you've got issues. I mean, it's not going to solve the problems. It just puts people on notice and lays out the rules.
Question for you. So why, maybe, I mean, common sense should tell me the answer to this, but I want to hear from a legal eagle's mouth. Why is it such an issue for a subordinate to date a superior? Like, what are they afraid of? You know, big corporations.
So the corporation's afraid of getting sued.
Yeah, okay. Hello.
So if I'm a manager in a position of authority over someone, it's really easy. Easy for me to do something that might make my subordinate feel like there's pressure to perform.
Gotcha.
Even if she says, yes, I think you're great. Yes, I want to be. She's doing that perhaps because she wants to get the raise or she
gotcha.
Wants to get the promotion or she doesn't
Work
want
it.
Just doesn't want to get fired.
Right. So, okay, I get it. Because I was wondering.
I mean, these things, they work wonders, you know? You can get a promotion out of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Double D's.
And then, in addition to the love contract, was that was subsequent to the whole no fraternization policy that was going on, you know, they couldn't see. So why do people put that into effect? And when you work with these people, and I mean, I understand inappropriate sex at work is a no-go. Don't do it.
No, however, but appropriate sex at work is perfectly acceptable.
I mean, Jason, I feel like this question is, like, ridiculous. Like, honestly, you know why.
No,
like,
but seriously, because people, the reason why I'm asking the question is because people online want to know.
Okay.
Our audience
okay.
wants to know.
Here's what I'll tell you. The better solution than having a love contract, the better solution is a no romantic involvement in the workplace.
Yeah.
That's easier, cleaner, and better. And then you go back to what's always been the case, which is people, if they're involved, they're going to do it quietly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're going to keep it on the DL.
They're going to be creeping.
And that's great. That's better than some of the alternatives, which is a love contract, and then maybe you're forced into signing it, or maybe you still felt the pressure, and it's not enforceable.
Right.
I mean, it's just full of problems.
Well, if you saw the episode, basically Karev was wanting Joe to sign this contract
sure.
so they can kiss in the hallways, which is still definitely inappropriate. I would hate to be at work and seeing someone, you know, it's just not appropriate, but I think they're missing the rules on that. But in the end,
yeah.
she ends up signing the contract. Mm-hmm. With that said, she never read it. You know, is there any other loopholes that could possibly be in there that's really to their detriment?
There are 1,000 different loopholes.
Right?
Yeah.
That was like a little ridiculous.
It's like a minefield. But what Karev said is this: one of the stupidest things I heard in the episode was, now if you sign this, I can kiss you anywhere, anytime. No.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the problem with romantic involvement, where you're talking about no fraternization policy,
mm-hmm.
part of the problem is if we're coworkers and we're involved and we're making out in front of you or other people,
right.
then we're making it awkward for
everybody,
not
gotcha.
Just for us.
I mean, I enjoy it. I look looking at it sometimes. Sometimes those makeout sessions are really hot. Here's a solution to that, people. Work with ugly people, and you won't have to worry about fraternization or hateration or constipation. Just, you know.
I can't work with ugly. Yeah. No, wait. Why did I say that out loud? Okay. Oh, no. My God. I meant that.
The more you know. Yes.
The more you know.
All right. Well, we're going to touch more on some more Legal Eagle things, because there were some more legal issues that come up with Catherine and Kepner and Avery later on. But let's get into the episode. This starts off with this crazy, 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 crazy patient. And now the patient stories, this is probably one of the most interesting ones because, yeah. First of all, they use this, you know, fetus in fetu. And I thought that, I was like, what is this? Fetus in fetu? But it's basically he absorbed his twin. What kind of cannibalistic craziness is that?
it's common, actually. It's not like it's something that's uncommon. But usually when you absorb it, usually when you eat the other twin, it goes away. Usually it doesn't just stay inside of you.
I am a twin. I would never want to eat my twin.
Well, you wouldn't do it on purpose. You're inside the fetus.
Okay.
So with that said, like, it is common and it does happen. But with it being inside of his stomach for so long, that is a little uncommon.
And he didn't want to have him removed.
Yeah.
He was like, leave him in there. He's marinating. We've grown attached together. We're really close.
Well, he's been in there for such a long time, clearly. This guy's like in his 30s or 40s.
Right.
But the fetus had a spine. It had a facial structure. Like, that's ridiculous that it went on for so long and he had no idea about it.
It was touching, though, how his storyline was, I go through people's junk and I find treasures. Mm-hmm. And now there was something inside me a whole long.
Aww.
Really, really touching.
That was a cute moment.
Oh, stop.
No, it was a cute moment. But, like, honestly, like, I don't want to take it home.
Right.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, put it in a jar?
Well, Weber had it in the ice cream bucket.
You know, when he finally took it out, Weber's like swinging the bucket, and my thing is like, the fetus is going to like roll down.
And, well, you know, Weber collects all the amazing accoutrements from his surgery. Mm-hmm. He has a whole room full, so I'm sure that one's like a prized possession going for it. That's like a human being that's like, you know, not alive, but alive. Really weird.
Yeah, rude.
And by the way, after Buzzers, I was thoroughly, thoroughly happy that we didn't have another Eric Calzona situation.
Perfect.
At all. It was great. Nice break. Nice, you know, breather from that because it was getting a little heavy. Although last week's episode, I watched it again after Buzzers. Forgive my insensitivity to it. It was very, very touching at the end when the Woolly Skates came out the box. So I do apologize for not really connecting with that last week. But we have Catherine Avery back.
Back with a bang. She was feisty. Well, actually, she just stood there. And that's like was saying nothing, and with the look, is saying so much. You know?
I
was like, I'm glad she's back. I love her character on the show.
But the points she made were valid, you know? So the shotgun wedding that Avery and Kepner had was, you know, not very thought out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things that could come to play after the fact as far as money, because he comes from a very wealthy family with a very wealthy heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she made it seem like Kepner was a gold digger for a minute there. I was like,
exactly. Yeah, I mean...
They take my money!
Well, besides, with the money, I just feel like she was so insensitive about, like, how they're going to raise their... Like, she was... I'm sorry, let me take that back. Besides the money, she was so insensitive about not being there for her son. And having a wedding. Like, I feel like she didn't really care about the wedding. She cares about the money more than anything. And that just was like, on her personality. I was like, why wouldn't you be first, like, why wasn't I there? I wanted to be there. And then second, like, okay, we got that money. You know, we got that trust.
Right.
In my opinion, no.
I think that was how she was feeling, though. She was hurt.
That was the deflection of that.
However, within that deflection, or whatever you want to call it, she was very smart, very tactful, and very to the point as to...
You mean manipulative?
Hey, mm-hmm. Well, you say tomato, I say Campbell's soup. You know, like, she... she...
That's like the same thing.
It was the antithesis.
No, I love it.
She... great word, I love it. Antithesis. No, she made some points. Like, listen, this is how this is going to go down. Jackson, have you forgot that you are part of a corporation, an institution that my blood, sweat, and tears helped to create?
But didn't she married into the family? That's what she said, right?
Right. What she did. And she also... But within that, her role marrying the family, she created this conglomeration that's worth $480 million. Hello, money.
Yeah.
I know they have that much money. I thought it was like 25 mil, you know?
Yeah.
A little chump change.
Yeah.
No, that's a quarter of a billion dollars. Almost a half a billion dollars.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And she, you know, and all these rules that go along with being an Avery, you know, when they're 15.
That was ridiculous.
I was blown away. I did not know it went down like that. Can that happen?
You know, where I think where she got it wrong was she was hitting April with all of this stuff about, like, how are the kids going to feel when this happens? How are the kids going to vote when they're on the board? How are the kids going to think? I mean, the whole thing missed the point because you don't know how the kids are going to feel when they grow up, when they're 15, when they're 18. Are they going to be independent? Are they going to be sheep and follow in their parents' footsteps?
Right.
And that was another way. I just thought she was attacking. And
yeah, of course, definitely attacking.
For sure. But I do like when she touched on, and for some people this is a little hot, but the religious part of it. You know, you are a Christian. Are you pro-choice?
No, I mean, when it comes down to religion, it's a touchy topic, right? You mm-hmm. know, and how you want to raise your children. That is a conversation that needs to be had.
Right.
But with that said, like, what are they not pro-choice? Are they, because they work in the hospital, that they're for everything? Does he have a religion? Have we ever touched on that?
Well, no, and we have not. But that's right? But okay. I think we have never touched. You've never heard Avery say, you know, I'm, you know, Jesus, hallelujah. Never, because
can I get in your pants?
Right.
Can pray after.
There you go. We can smoke a cigarette and pray when we're done. However, I do like the way Catherine said, listen, you guys are doctors. You know, doctors need to think things through scientifically, and they should be pro-choice and this and that, because you are a healer. You're here to help people.
Right.
You're supposed to understand, you know, the people's, how they work, etc. So by her asking April that, it was like, you know what? That's a very good question. Because April, you're all about Jesus and Jesus Christo and all these things in your religion. How would you feel about that?
Right.
When your kids are going to be part of an institution that is pro-choice everything, you know, save the people. So,
I mean,
I was feeling Miss Catherine Avery tonight.
No, I think she had some valid points. Of course she did. And it wasn't in a, manipulative is the wrong word, but it was in a way that made them start thinking.
It was very pointed.
Yeah. And it made them start thinking about some topics, and I could see it all over Kepner's face, and I could see it all over Avery's face. Like, wait, we haven't thought about this, but let's look strong in front of Mom to show that we are going to. But
and they do talk about it in the final scene.
In the final scene, yes, they do speak about it, and that's when it seems like fights are going to start happening, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because they
yeah.
are completely opposites on almost everything.
Everything. Well, touching on relationships tonight as well, we see Crowen going through something. They were very cute tonight. I'm liking Sandra Oh's character this season, sadly, because she's leaving, and everything they're giving her is making her more likable to go, which I would prefer her to leave on a bad note, because I think it's more dramatic. However, tonight, we see her trying to hook Owen up on blind dates.
Wait, let's go back. I would like her to leave on a good note, so she on a worse note so she can come back and, like, have some drama. More
She'll
drama.
Come back when Catherine Heigl comes back.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways, so yeah, you're right. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about Crowen, Owen, and Christina.
Oh yeah, the dates.
It's like you know how when the mom's about to die in those movies, and she tries to find a man for the husband so he's not alone. This has been done on the show before with Brain Tumor Guy.
Yeah.
You know, after he got mauled by the bear, but it's just, you know, they should be together. Stop pussyfooting around and just do the deed and be happy and boom, there you go.
Mm.
And she's being very cooperative and being very adult about this whole Owen thing. And it's like she's never been this way before
This character switch is definitely a switch. But what I would have to say is, like, I don't know. I think she's just trying to doesn't want the pressure of them getting back together on her. And so she's definitely pushing the whole online dating, because I don't think she wants to get back with him. I think she wants to sleep with him. But now that he's broken, like you said a few weeks ago, once he broke up with her, it's kind of like damaged goods. Like, now she doesn't want, because the thrill is gone. Now she's not going to want him anymore. Right?
Yeah, a little bit. And he's too agreeable. Like, he just tells her everything. Like, he's so, like, I'll be like, woman, back up. You don't want to, you can never have another whiff of this. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm with you. Like, I feel like he should be a little bit more hard to get.
No.
Yes?
Yeah. But he's not.
But he's not.
But I like them together. As I say every week, they've been my favorite couple since George and Izzy. You know, I like them. So it's really weird to see
They got a divorce,
their chemistry,
and then they're
and
now sleeping together. I mean, that's actually common, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that what people do? They break up, and then they miss each other.
Mm-hmm. Let's come back for the nookie.
The nookie. So anyways, with that said, that I mean, he's doesn't want to go on these online dates, and they're going back to her place after this episode's over. So, I don't know. The storyline is just kind of blah. It was a filler episode. So let's move on.
For sure. Well, you know, before we do that, go on to iTunes, rate us, comment, tell a friend about all the wonderful things that are going on here at AfterBuzz TV. Talk about grades. We love hearing from you guys. We love hearing your comments. And actually enlightening us on some grades things that we didn't know about. I love
getting some doctor fans out there.
Yeah, these new discoveries about Grey's Anatomy. And I thought I knew everything. Such a humbling experience going on and reading the comments. But yes, iTunes, rate a friend. That's how we roll here at AfterBuzz TV. Derek and Callie tonight. First of all, Callie can't catch a break, dude. Callie, poor thing. I mean, I don't know.
She caught a break.
But it took a mile to get her, you know, there. Instead of someone like, you know, Callie, no, we're going to hook you up. We're going to help you out, you know. No, she had to go get Legal Eagles involved. And let's talk about that. So, she calls her attorneys because her and Derek created this project together. Derek, like she said, wants
to go. She created the project first, brought Derek on.
And now he got the net recognition from the press, from POTUS, but left her on the cold because of the intellectual property that now became that of the United States of America. How does that work? How does intellectual property work, Jason?
It depends on the type of intellectual property you're talking about. But in this case, Shepard said something about patents. The patent was in his name. Callie asked the question, and he provided the answer. In my mind, he came up with the solution to whatever the problem was.
Yep.
And when you apply for a patent, the patent's owned by an individual. It's not owned by the government. It's not owned by a company. It's owned by the individual.
And it can be owned by two people, though. It could be, right?
It can be owned by the inventors. So if there are co-inventors, they could both be named.
In
this case, it was just Shepard.
Yeah, but I wish Callie would have back then been like, both of our names should have been on the patent. Do you remember why that was?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, that would have been a better solution. But this kind of illustrated to me why if you're involved with someone, this is always an issue when you're working with family or close friends. But if you're involved with someone in a project, always document it. Have a contract. Most people think it's the other way around. You're working with strangers. You have a contract that outlines what your rights and responsibilities are. But if you're ever doing it with family or friends, that's when you need the contract because it's this casual, everybody's happy thing. And then the crap happens.
That whole element of family, people, it gives them a card or a pass to act ways that they shouldn't, you know, or get away with things that are not favorable. So, seriously. When you work with family and friends, they can get crunk. But
they get crunk. That's
but it was
true.
Great. The quote in there was, "I'll have you prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law."
I was
commercial
like,
break.
And then her attorney goes, "Well said." I'm like, "What are you paying her for?" The attorney's the one that's supposed to be the pit bull out there with the frothy mouth barking and all the noise.
But it's Callie. Does have she knows what she's doing.
Right.
You know, I mean, and she's been sued before, and so she's. She knows her legal stuff at this point, I guess.
She should.
She should, right?
I got to hand it to Callie because tonight's episode was one that personally for me was echoing a lot of things I have been thinking, not to make it personal, but about the power of saying no. And today in my class, our teacher was talking about the power of saying no and how people don't exercise that enough.
Right.
And Callie was like, no, this is not going to go down. Derek, I love you, however, but you're screwing me. And she even painted a picture of a butthole and called him it. You know, it was just like, she's saying, you can't do this to me. And it also sparked something in Derek because he tried to, you know.
We're friends.
Let's find something together, you know, try to roundabout to make her happy.
No, he was not trying to make her happy. He was like, don't do this because you have no case. You know,
but he did say that, Star, but he said that we can work together. You know, my work is fluid, your work is fluid. But then she wasn't having it. And he was like, well, listen, honey, the realism of all this is you ain't got a case. You're done. You're dead in the wire. Don't fight me on this. It's going to cost you money. You're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that she did a little mind game with him when he was like, you know, I am sorry. And then that was when... You know, once she started wording it a little differently, like, you of course you're sorry because you feel bad.
I
love that part because it got into his character, got into his mind, like, yeah, you're right. Like, I should stick up for what we started.
And it was very powerful because she said, you feel bad because, Noah, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Not because you're a douchebag, because you're an awesome guy. You just have a hard time. You're being bullied. You're having a hard time saying no. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, was probably one of the best
dialogues.
Because it's like, she's right. In our everyday life, and I always say this about Grey's, that they have a lot of lessons. Every episode's a lesson, a life lesson, in the monologue, and the epilogue, and the prologue, and with the dialogue they give. All these logs. But, you know, the power of saying no. You know, it's a powerful, powerful thing.
It's powerful. Do you think if she would have
went to court, how do you think that would have played out?
Well, just based on the little facts that we were presented with, she probably would have lost.
Yeah.
I mean, once you have the patent, it's
I
golden. Mean, that's pretty
Case
good evidence that you own the intellectual property.
Right.
So her strategy in hitting the humanity side of Shepard, that was her best strategy, because it was really her only strategy.
She's a smart girl, though. I mean, she gets hit hard, but she is smart.
And she could have hit back, and she could have, you know, had her legal team get on and attack, and you can draw these things out for years. But she eventually would have lost. So she did the smartest thing.
Well, yeah. I think it's great that they finally went to the board of the presidency, and I think it was great that he made his point and was like, I'm not moving forward without Callie. If we don't have Callie, then I'm not moving forward. And I think that worked in the end. I was like, oh, no, he's going to – I would love to drop this storyline personally. So I was, like, hoping that they were going to be like, no, we're not going to use you. But also with that said, if you watch Scandal right after the show, I was hoping when they started turning the Skype camera around that we would get to see Fitz. I was like, is this the moment?
It has. If they did show a different president and not Fitz, I'll be like, bad crossover branding freaking Shonda.
But I think, I'm just hoping for it. I know you guys know that. But we hope that it's going to be President Fitz from Scandal.
I mean, all in all, on this episode, we also had Kiki Palmer, who was a guest host. You know, she was pregnant. She was estranged from her family.
She was 17 years old.
The end. That's all we need to say about that. And we also have the chief being offered a director of residency at the end of the episode Owen.
Yeah, after Owen gave him a retirement plan at the very beginning.
Wow.
I just cannot believe that was a little shady on your birthday.
Shade.
Yeah, like, now it's your birthday. You're
Lamps
in your 60s.
Plus. Hashtag Ray-Ban.
How old is he supposed to be portrayed on this show?
Probably late 50s, probably. Not, I don't think 60s yet.
Yeah.
He's a strapping African-American male.
He's
still, you know, like, you can't
He came back after last season.
Black don't crack. Dell's gone. He's got Catherine. He's on and popping.
He's on and popping.
But, I mean, pretty much it was, like, again, a filler episode. So, you know, there we have it. Grey's Anatomy for March 20th, 2014, season 10. Good stuff. Let's move on to news and gossip.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The thing hung. Sorry.
You're fired. Well, check it out. It's all good. So we gotten word that Amelia Shepherd, Katarina Corsoni, is coming back next week to be on the show. Yay.
Who again?
Derek's little sister, Amelia, the drug dealer from Private Practice.
That's right.
She's coming back.
What do you think she's going to do on this?
I don't know. But
heart surgery.
Well, she's a neurosurgeon. Yeah. She's a neurosurgeon. I didn't. We got tweeted about it, so I didn't get the full details. But you know what? We'll go ahead and get you that info. We'll tweet it for you later on tonight. And also, more of the '80s music tonight. An amazing, 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 amazing cover of Whitney Houston's "How Will I Know."
How will I know?
So good.
Hall
so good.
Hall & Oates. That was better.
Well, the Hall & Oates is great.
Other covers were on tonight?
There was only those two. Your Kiss is on my list. Your Kiss and How Will I Know?
How Will I Know? Awesome.
So that's our news and gossip. Let's move on to predictions.
Your After Buzz TV predictions.
Dude, on the money.
Yeah, that was perfect.
So, Legal Eagle, Jason Michael Romero, Juris Doctor, what do you think will happen in the next couple of episodes? Because you actually watch. I know you do watch this show, so, you know. What do you think will transpire?
Unfortunately, I think a helicopter is going to crash into
Seattle Grace Mercy with that hospital.
Yeah, and it almost did a couple weeks ago, last week, really sad.
So you think
in real life? What are you talking about?
Yeah, in real life.
Oh, okay.
Helicopter crash.
Well, you know, they shoot that here in California, so the earthquake might have ruined.
But I do think there will be some additional legal issues, so hopefully I'll be back.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you will.
But the love contract will probably fall apart.
And bite him in the butt.
And it'll become, hopefully it'll become an issue.
Yay. Kind of drama.
Drama.
You instigate a star session.
Well, as we said, this was a filler episode, and so I hope there's going to be a little bit more drama next week. I definitely think that, I don't know, I just want it to be better than it was this week. I don't really have any predictions this week. Sorry, fans. Jason?
I'm right there with you both. It was a transitional episode where there was nothing really stuck out. You know, they resolved all
more.
The issues. There's nothing that was like a cliffhanger. So who knows? Next week we have a really poignant episode based around Yang. Sandra Oh. So we might get, you know, a new arc that starts next week, but we'll have to wait and see.
That's right.
Star Sesh, where can we find you online?
You can find me at StarrSession on all things social media, as well as the Say What Web Show. Say What Web Show, all one word.
And Jason Romo, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Where can we find you
Happy
online?
Happy to. You can find me on the back of your local Yellow Pages or California or Idaho State Bar websites or at Up Your Biz.
There you go.
Awesome. You guys, thank you for coming in. And I'm Jason J. Carter. You can find me online at JDC Forever on Twitter, on the Jason J. Carter fan page, and at SayWhatWebShow.com. Until next time, you guys, be safe, don't text and drive, and have a good one.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz
you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.